Let's start with our 10-15 program, right? 10-15. And this is the aftermath of recent strikes. So interested and excited for this topic. Our panelists to my immediate left is Stephanie Hay. She's the founder and principal attorney of the Hay Law Group in Houston with an additional office in Decatur, Georgia. I don't know if she's going to talk about that at all, but getting barred in Georgia, an interesting and I think exciting opportunity for entertainment lawyers right now. So that's exciting. She's a transactional entertainment attorney who practices entertainment law, focusing on music, film, television, podcasting, influencing, and NIL issues. In addition to her full-time practice, she's passionate about empowering creatives and colleagues through education. She's a former adjunct professor for 7 years in the music business department at Houston Community College and aimed to impact future industry entertainers and professionals positively through classes like Survey of Music Business, Legal Aspects of the Entertainment Industry, Music Publishing. I'm doing this because I'm also an adjunct professor, and so I just have a great appreciation for this. I think it's really important, so thank you for doing that. Stephanie helps students build a solid foundation to launch successful careers, also awesome. So she's currently serving on the planning team for this event as well, doing double duty as a panelist, so thanks for that, Stephanie. And then next to her is the unmistakable voice that you'll hear of Gordon Firemark, who has his own practice, practicing media and entertainment law in Los Angeles, has become known as the podcast lawyer, thepodcastlawyer.com. He has spent his career helping creative industry professionals make deals that make sense and get their productions developed, financed, produced, distributed. His practice also covers copyrights, trademarks, business transactions, and corporate matters. I know you'll have listened to, if you haven't already, you should be listening to his podcast, The Entertainment Law Update, as well as others. And in addition to his busy practice of law, he also teaches classes as well in IP and media law, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, entertainment law at Columbia College Hollywood, and contract law at Pepperdine Law School. So Gordon Firemark, thanks for being here as well. And we're excited to hear your panel. So let's get started.
Thank you. Thank you for that great introduction. Good morning. So we will be discussing the aftermath of the 2023 strikes, so breaking down the WGA strike as well as the SAG strike and kind of how what the comparisons were and the things that changed as a result of the contract negotiations. So Gordon is going to start us off and discuss the WGA strike, and then I will come in and we'll talk about the SAG and kind of have a little conversation. So thanks for joining us.
You know, that title aftermath makes it sound like there's been a lot of consequences and stuff happening, and that's really not the case. It's been, I won't say quiet, but it hasn't been as noisy and
dramatic. You know,
yeah, exactly. It's not like a battlefield or anything like that now that the strikes are over. So let's get into the slides and go on to the next one. We'll just a little bit of background on the Writers Guild, so most of you know, but they represent about 11,500 writers across the film, TV, radio, new media industries. And, you know, like most unions, it's about pay and workplace safety and benefits and job protections and things like that. And since the 1930s, the Guild has been really working consistently to protect the writers' interests in things as the often unseen and behind-the-scenes folks that are sometimes forgotten about and sometimes deliberately neglected. So historically, each of the strikes that the Guild has been involved in have come on the heels of new technologies sort of disrupting the status quo and the way things have been done. So in 1959, the first major Guild strike dealt with this new technology, television, and the ability to record programming meant that there could be reuses of programs. It wasn't just one-off and done. So they were looking for the networks to pay residuals. And that was a hard-won fight in the late 50s. And then in the 80s, the new technology of home video had made its impact. And again, another way of distributing content. We want to get paid for it. So we had residuals for home video and also for foreign TV sales and syndication. And that was really a big milestone then. And that's the strike that led me to go to law school. I was working in the television production field. And, you know, when you're working, and I was fairly new into the field, writers go on strike, Gordon goes to law school. So, and now when unions strike, I go on vacation. So.